everybody. Do you like pancakes? Do you hate violence against women? Then come on down to the 7th Annual White Ribbon Pancake Breakfast Fundraiser, presented by Allies at UBC. Thursday, November 23rd, from 7:30 to 11 a.m., we're grilling up some pancakes to raise money for local women's support groups. Recently, your donations have helped support UBC's Sexual Assault Support Center and the Downtown Eastside Native Women's Health Center, Shiwe, among others. The food, generously donated by the AMS Food Services, will be served in the sub-party room on the top floor of the Student Union Building. And if you bring your own plates and cutlery, you'll be eligible to win a great prize from Sprouts, the UBC Food Co-op. So Thursday, November 23rd, from 7:30 to 11 a.m., come join us for some pancakes and help support a wonderful cause brought to you by CITR 101.9 FM and Allies at UBC.
I'm Bryant Reeves of the Vancouver Grizzlies, and you're listening to CITR 101.9.
We almost got through it without any, little divots there or little skips, but nonetheless, the Scooby-Doo theme song opening the show today. Hopefully you guys did enjoy it. Welcome, everybody, to Wiener's Barbecue here on 101.9 FM, CITR Radio, Vancouver, British Columbia, Canada. Lots to get to on the show today. We've got lots of BC Lions to get to in the 5 o'clock hour of the show. Javi Glapp from the Grey Cup-winning BC Lions will be with us at 5 o'clock. Javi, of course, big play late in the game, causing a fumble, helping secure the 94th Grey Cup for the BC Lions. And as usual, Julio Caravata from the BC Lions Radio Network. I pre-recorded it. He's actually doing the Pratt and Taylor show today. So he wouldn't come on live, and that didn't happen. But we got Julio. He'll be with us at about 5:20. But to kick things off today, you're still in uniform.
That's right. Just came from practice.
Closer.
All right.
Closer. Look at that. You guys, right here, hey?
Oh, yeah. That's quick.
Right here. We're with right now today from the now 8-0 in conference play UBC Thunderbird men's basketball team. They beat Winnipeg. A tight one. You had a 19-point lead. Barely pulled it out. 80-78 on the weekend. And then took on Manitoba the following game, 77-62 winners. UBC currently 8-0 men's basketball team on the 2006, 2007, is that what year we're in now?
That's it.
Is that the year? Brett Leversage, he's a guard for the UBC Thunderbirds, and assistant coach Randy Knorr. So, Randy, let me start with you right now. Twice this season, now, you take the Trinity game, triple overtime. You had the tight one there, you had the big lead, but you won it. And then against Winnipeg the other night on Friday, 19-point lead. You win that one. It's a close one. Nervous for you, coaches, or just happy you're getting the wins right now?
You know, I'm really happy that we're in some close games. Last year, I think that was part of the problem coming down the stretches. We never were in situations that it was very close. We always had a couple 10- or 15-point wins. So our guys weren't used to being in situations like that. So last year when we got down to the end of the stretch, we maybe got a little bit nervous. I think now we've started to relax and we started to realize that, hey, it's fine if it's close. We know we're going to win at the end.
Brett, you guys nervous at all in either of those two wins?
Oh, a little bit.
Closer.
I've never lost a game as a league game as a UBC Thunderbird, so it's always a little weird when we're that close at the end. But yeah, I learned a little bit, but it's a little different.
So you're 28-0, aren't you?
That's right.
It's not always like that, is it, Randy?
Hey, I'm the same with them. We're both 28-0 as T-Birds in league play, so hey, it's great.
And Randy, you won 2 national championships, I believe is the number?
Yeah.
With St. FX?
Yes.
So let me ask you that, Randy. Is this UBC Thunderbird team, they had the great season last year, and really what they've done is they've had the great regular seasons, unable to do it in postseason play. Is there something that you saw as a player that your teams, and maybe you were able to do, that why can't this team do it in the playoffs?
A lot of it's just matchups and who's playing well right at the end. I didn't think last year at the end of the year we were playing our best basketball. We started playing against Cape Breton, who right when we played them, were playing their best basketball of the season. If you look at regular season stuff early on in the season, they weren't very successful and weren't playing very good basketball. And I think we kind of peaked in maybe January, February, and weren't ready to go when it was crunch time.
Were you guys overconfident at any time last year, Brett? I mean, you were 20-0. Was it ever overconfidence, or just you finally lost the games at the wrong time?
I don't know if it was overconfidence. We just got down to the end, and it was just, I don't know if we, maybe we did take them too lightly, but it was just a lot of things, I think. The travel, everything.
So you're 8-0 right now, but are these guys making sure, and you as players know, no big head yet? I mean...
Yeah, the coaches are making sure of that. They let us know every day.
What do they say?
Everything. They beat us down. I hear a lot from Randy.
What do you say to him, Randy?
All positive stuff.
All positive.
Our big theory this year is that we're just talking about, or think about the end. So we don't care if we, as coaches staffs, we don't care if we go 20-0 again. We just want to be playing our best basketball when it comes down to the end of the season.
Was that something last year, maybe a little different this year, Brett, is last year you guys, did you want to maybe go 20-0 this year, more so last year than this year, or taking it one game at a time? Is there a different mindset this year?
Well, maybe in like beginning thinking about the end, but it's never really been a focus to go 20-0.
Right.
I mean, I've only been here 2 seasons, but it's been think about the end both years, not let's go 20-0 in regular season. That hasn't been the big thing.
So 80-78 winners on the weekend, up by 19, did pull it out at the end. What happened though? Up by 19. How did they get close?
We had a couple turnovers. We started shooting a little bit more from the outside. I'll give them a lot of credit. They had one of their players stepped up and played a great game, one of the better CIS games I've ever seen someone play. I think he had 32 points and just hit big shot after big shot after big shot. And I mean, our guys did what they needed to do. I mean, we got the stops when we needed to. We were up 2. They had the basketball and went to shoot a couple threes, and we contested shots and ended up that it all worked out.
So, Brett, you guys playing at Thompson Rivers this weekend, a team that has struggled a lot during the season so far, new to Canada West play. Next week, you got a big game. No question about it. You, Vic. Tough to not look ahead?
It is, but it's a long season, so we're just taking it one game at a time, like we've been saying. So,
getting excited for the UVic game, though?
Well, yeah. I don't look at the schedule and think, oh, we got this game, we got this game. I really do just take it week by week.
Randy, I mean, chances are it will be two undefeated teams. I'm going to look ahead. But chances are it will be 2 undefeated teams playing next week. Why UVic? Why UBC? Why are you guys by far? I mean, you're number 2 and 3 in the country right now. That's what the rankings say?
I believe it's 2 and 3, yeah.
Why UVic and UBC? What makes you guys so ahead of everybody else, it seems, up to this point of the season?
I'm not 100% sure. I mean, a lot of it would have to do with they've had a very good program for a long time, and I think since Kevin's got here, we've had a really strong program and have been building, and I think both of us have very talented teams, obviously. Both have got very good recruits over the last few years, and we're both just playing very good basketball, it seems like, the last 2 years.
So, Brett, tell us a little bit about Brett Leversez, Randy.
What should I say? Brett is a... I like to call Brett a combo guard. He plays point guard for us, but I think he's very very gifted in scoring, too, taking the ball to the hoop, being able to create stuff for himself as much and his teammates. I think Brett's biggest asset is his defense, his length, and his athletic ability. I don't think a lot of people realize how athletic he is, and how long he is. He has extremely long arms and gets his hands on a lot of basketballs. And we've in that Trinity game, we were bringing him in for defensive stops, and we were doing offense defensive subs just so we could have him on the floor at defensive times. So I think that's his biggest asset.
Long arms?
Yeah, it helps.
He's got the long arms?
Long arms.
What do long arms do? What do they? I mean, obviously, you got to use them more. What does long arms do in basketball?
Long arms mean a lot for me. I don't know. I'm not the quickest guy, but I try to make the long arms work. Just get them out there, get some tips.
So, Brett, on this team right now, you've got the three big guards on the UBC Thunderbirds with Casey Archibald, of course, Adam Friesen, and Chris Dick. What's your mindset on this team right now? Because Casey will be leaving. It's going to be a different story on this team next year. Mm-hmm. But what's your mindset for playing this year?
Well, right now, I just got to work hard and try to get as many minutes as I can. I started off the year, and I wasn't getting in as much, but tried to pick it up a bit lately and get in a little bit more.
So you guys are getting a little more faith in this guy?
Yeah, he's playing much better of late. Much better.
What's he doing improving? He was a freshman last year. What's he doing different this season?
Well, first, I think he got a nice haircut. That kind of helped him off.
Yeah, he had the long hair.
He had the long hair.
You had the bushy. You were all cool there for a bit. What happened?
They ended that quick.
No, I think he's just started working a little bit harder individually. He's come in, and I can tell I do all the individuals with guys that his individual workouts have been a little bit more intense, and maybe his focus has just improved. I think last year, as a freshman playing on a team with a lot of talent, coming in this year, he just kind of maybe assumed that he would play a little bit more because it's second year now. And forgot to maybe work as hard as he needed to in practice. And we talked about it early on, and ever since, it hasn't even been an issue. He's been great in practice, and he's been very competitive, and he's been one of our better guards.
So were they whooping you earlier in the season?
Yeah, they let me know about it.
Does he let you know about it, this guy right here?
Yeah, well, sometimes he doesn't let me know about it, which is worse. Just forgets about me.
You don't like that, do you? At least you want them talking to you, don't
yeah,
you?
Exactly.
So I saw you came in the preseason, and you had the long, bushy hair. You're looking all cool. What happened? What happened?
I don't know. Coaches figured it was getting in my eyes or something.
Yeah, ever since the haircut, he's played great. So I don't know if there's a correlation or not, but I think he's played great basketball of late, and I just hope he keeps improving.
Awesome. And what's it like, though, Brett? I mean, you're obviously learning a lot playing behind these three guys. I mean, these are three top proven performers in Canada West play: Chris Dick, Adam Friesen, Casey. You learn from those guys?
Oh, yeah. I'd like to throw my boy JB into that group,
Jason
too.
Beery, yeah.
I work out a lot with him and stuff, too. So I just try to watch him in practice, get shots up with him, everything.
So Thompson Rivers this weekend. You know, you guys are 8-0, heavy favorites in these games. What kind of games are we looking at, though, Randy?
Thompson Rivers last year tried to up-tempo the game. I think last year we played him a game that was like 120-98. They said it was one of their better games of the year last year. I think they really want to push the tempo. They're going to take a lot of chances defensively. They look to half-court trap, three-quarter trap. Then they'll fall back in some zone. They're kind of small, so they'll have to take a little bit more chances. So I don't know if that's the best system to play against our guys if you're going to dare the Casey Archibalds and the Chris Dicks of the world to miss open shots. I'll even throw in Jason Beering there too. I don't think those are the three guys that you really want to give them open shots and dare them to miss. Like, it works against a few other teams in our conference.
Tough to run against you guys, hey?
To
play that kind of game.
We can get up too. That's the thing. Yeah.
What was it like, Brett? I mean, the favorite game I'll probably see this year up to this point, at least, was obviously that Trinity Western game. I mean, was that a test for you guys? It doesn't get any more up-tempo than that game.
Oh, yeah. Well, one of the things, it was a big shock to us, kind of. Like, we never expected to be in a triple overtime game with them, so it kind of took us by surprise, and we learned a lot, I guess.
Is that particular game at least helped you guys up to this point in the season at all? Was there
Well, it's hard to tell, but hopefully in the long run that it will help us in close games.
So, awesome. And Randy, you know, 8-0, not much really you got to work on up to this point. Well, not true.
a lot of stuff we have to work on.
I came back, I was at your practice last Tuesday, and old coach was sitting guys down, giving little lectures. And
well, if you would have stuck around today, you would have saw the same thing.
What are the lectures right now, Randy? What do you guys got to work on?
I think one of the things we need to do is we need to be able to get the basketball inside and come up with scores. As of late, we've got the basketball inside, and the post players have done a great job of drawing fouls. But we need to maybe get a little bit more production out of that area. One of the things is, I mean, we have so many good three-point shooters, so it's hard to tell them not to shoot threes, but we really need to get higher percentage shots on a regular basis. Need to push the basketball up the floor, get it into the post, or penetrate and take the ball to the hoop. We got to get a few guys to the free throw line a little bit more. Just be a little bit more aggressive offensively, taking the basketball to the hoop.
Because obviously in the UVic game, Jacob Dirksen, he's a big player for their team. You're going to find out, because one of the things you guys told me you wanted to work on this year was your rebounding, the big guys getting involved. How's that coming along so far this year? You're going to find out in the UVic game at least where you stand.
Definitely. Right now, I believe we're first in Canada West in just overall rebounds. I think we're averaging around 43 a game. But UVic is first in opponents' rebounds. I think they're only giving up about 23 a game. So it'll be interesting to see how that kind of works out. We'd like to be first in both categories, and I think we're first in sixth right now. So it's one of the areas that we're trying to slowly improve on. We're definitely changed our focus in practice. We're definitely talking a lot more about rebounding and defense this year than we were last year. And so far, I think it's helped.
Brad, what do they tell you guys as guards about rebounding? What is a guard?
We're working on it all today. Just find your man, hit him. don't let the bigs down.
Box them out, eh?
Yeah.
Box them out. And guys, at this point, Randy, I want to ask you, guys who have really stepped up for you guys, who we haven't mentioned so far in this interview.
You know, I think we've been very fortunate this year because we've had a lot of games where different guys have stepped up. Obviously, in the Trinity game, Brett was great down the stretch defensively. All the three that you've talked about have had great games. Cody, Bryson, and Matt Racher have all had a bunch of, I know all three of them have had games where they've been double digits in rebounding. Jason Bearing's had times where he just sparks us tremendously off the bench. I think both our young guys, as of the last couple of games, have really come in and given us really quality minutes. Alex Murphy, I know last game had 5 points, 5 assists, 5 rebounds. Brent Malish had, I think it was the first time he actually hit some shots in games, and he had 11 points and really showed the signs of how good those two are going to be. And I think our future at UBC is really good with the young guys that we have in.
Randy doesn't mince words, does he?
No, that's not his style.
Straight up shooter, eh, Randy?
Oh, yeah, keep it straight.
Keep it straight. That's just great. So, awesome. So, Brett, congratulations so far. And Randy, obviously, on your 8-0 start. And not looking ahead, though, Thompson.
Not looking past him.
They're not going to let you, huh?
No, a couple fun games, hopefully.
Awesome.
Get some points on the board.
Awesome. And I hope to have some guys back in here next week, 10-0. I'm excited for the UVic game, personally. I'm excited for the UVic game. No? Can't be yet? Is that the...
You know,
I can, but you can be.
I get paid not to be. We just want to focus and take care of business. It would be a shame to go up there and lose a game or just have a bad performance. I think we want to just keep getting better each game and not just worry about going up there and winning.
What's been the best game you played so far this year?
There's been a few. I liked our SFU home opener. I thought we played and battled hard in that one. I thought we showed a lot of character in that game after playing a very tough game and not getting home until maybe 1 o'clock in the morning. You were at that Trinity game. That was a track meet. So I thought the guys showed a lot of character in our SFU game, came out, had tired legs, and just battled through it.
I was driving around after that game trying to find a McDonald's open.
I know. I got McDonald's before the game.
So was our bus.
I couldn't find one. Awesome. Randy Knorr, assistant coach, full-time assistant for the UBC Thunderbird men's basketball team, and Brett Leversage. He's a guard on this team. They are currently 8-0, looking to reach the halfway point, perfect 10-0. Brett's never lost a game in his CIS career.
That's right. Don't plan on it soon.
Good. We're trying to keep that streak as long as live as possible.
But the playoff streak has to change.
Yes.
But the playoff streak has to change. We'll be right back with more Wiener's Barbecue. You're listening to 101.9 FM.
Music singer, oh. always been a real close family. Lately, some of my old kin folks disown some other boys and me. I guess it's because I kind of changed my direction. Hey, I leave me alone, I'm singing all night long. It's an old family tradition. Don't ask me why do you drink? Do you smoke? Why must you live out all the songs that you wrote? If I'm down in a honky-tonk, somebody's trying to give me friction, I say leave us alone, we're singing all night long. It's a family tradition. I have loved some ladies, I have loved your name. They both try kill me in 1973.
Everybody, welcome back to Wiener's Barbecue here on 101.9 FM CITR Radio, Vancouver, British Columbia, Canada. You know, it's always hard to start the show with a guest sometimes. Nonetheless, folks, on the big show today, we're going to have Javi Glatt from the BC Lions Grey Cup Champions. In about 10 minutes' time, Javi made the big play late in the game, Montreal driving a touchdown, and they've got a shot. They've got a shot. Javi jumps over the line of scrimmage on a second and goal from the one. Knocks the ball out of Robert Edwards' hands. What a jump it was by Javi at the line of scrimmage. BC recovers, and they drive a little bit from there, and the game pretty much over. Javi's going to be with us, and Julio Caravata. I got to say, it's a pre-tape with Julio Caravata. We'll be playing that shortly after the Javi interview. And then BJ Bass from Nevada, Las Vegas will be with us at about 5:15 to talk a little National Football League action. How about LaDainian Tomlinson? 102 touchdowns in his career right now. Hasn't even played six seasons yet. And he's already making, you know, Emmett's got, I think, like 165. Jerry Rice, I think, is about 204. So he's got a ways to go, but LT after seven seasons could find himself in. Well, Mark Salen's got 140. He's not catching, I think so, something like that. He's not catching Marcus, but, you know, he's making a little bit of a charge here. Still a ways to go, but, man, eight, what's he got? He's got 18 rushing or something, 19 rushing. I think he's something. He is something. Anyways, folks, I'd like to get along right now to our CITR pledge drive. If you've been listening to our station the last couple weeks, you know exactly what I'm talking about. We are currently doing a pledge drive here at CITR 101.9 FM. And from my perspective, we need equipment. We're doing a lot of upgrades. And if you like what we do here at CITR Sports, you'd maybe want to donate. If you're listening to UBC Thunderbird basketball or UBC Thunderbird hockey or volleyball, all the stuff that we do here, we need new equipment. We're running a little low. And it would be greatly appreciated. We've never done a pledge drive before. And it would be greatly appreciated if you could come out and just sort of help out the station. Never asked you before. And just give us a little bit of money here. We're asking for donations as following: $25, $45, $60, $101.9, $150, and $250. Number to call: 604-822-8648. 604-822-8648. And, you know, you're going to get lots of stuff from us. Friends of CITR cards gives you discounts on lots of stuff in the city of Vancouver. You'll get a CD. And the more you donate, you'll get CITR t-shirts, up to 10 CDs if you do the 250, two CITR t-shirts. I mean, lots of stuff to give away. And if you donate and you say you're a part of my show, you're donating. Here's the phone number: 822-8648. 822-8648. If you're donating, you say you're a part of my show, we will. We got a phone call. Let's just see who's calling here. I want to see this. You're on the air.
Daryl.
Yeah.
How you doing?
Mikey Hall.
How you doing, buddy?
Look at you. Mikey, I just got to finish up here, okay?
No problem.
So if you donate and you say you're a part of my show, and Michael, we're going to be doing this also on Friday. I hope you're excited for all the pledging we're going to have to ask for.
Man, I love asking for money.
Anyways, Mikey, if they donate the $25 minimum during, or and they say they're a part of my show, they're doing it because of my show, or they're doing it, you know, part of the hockey game on Friday. We're going to put all the names into a hat, and the winner gets two Canuck tickets versus the Phoenix Coyotes March 1st and a signed Yvonne Cornoyer photo.
Wow. Ed Jovanovsky.
Damn straight. Well, he's coming December 12th, but yeah, you can.
Well, Gretzky's, if he missed that one, it's his return.
Gretzky behind the bench.
That's right.
Curtis Joseph.
He's terrible.
Who else they got over there? Mike Comrie?
Injured?
Probably not in March, though.
Probably. Well, you never know. Comrie does have a tendency to get injured.
Owen Nolan?
Yeah, Mike Ricci coming back.
Jeremy Roenick?
Oleg Saprykin. Can't forget him.
Former Calgary Flight. Mikey, we don't have much time here. I got to call Javi Glatt in a couple minutes. But UBC Thunderbird Hockey, thanks for calling, of course, Mikey. UBC Thunderbird Hockey, we got the game this Friday. Are we set at the Burnaby Winter Club? Are we good for that? Well,
we might have to run off a cell phone. So.
All right, well, see.
I'm still in to hear back from them. But, you know, Daryl, I just want to actually talk a little bit about something else right now that's been in the media with UBC Hockey. They have just recently announced that, and we've actually talked about it, we were the first to announce it actually on our last broadcast a couple weeks ago out of Richmond, was that the Thunderbirds will be playing two games at GM Place next weekend, the following weekend, against Lethbridge. One game on Friday at 7:30, the game on Sunday at 2 o'clock. Before that game, there'll be a UBC alumni versus Canucks alumni game at 12:30. One ticket gets you in for both games, the alumni game and the regular game. That's Sunday again at 12:30 that starts. The Canuck alumni team is going to include former greats like Kirk McLean, Cliff Ronning, Gary Volk. Mike, it should be a good hockey game.
Mike, I'll give you Kirk McLean and
Cliff Ronning.
But Gary Volk, former great.
You know, if there's any penalty killing going on in that game, Gary Volk is the man.
No, that's going to be pretty sweet, Mike. And then I believe the January 12th and 13th has been confirmed.
Right, and January 12th and 13th, and that's actually even more exciting. The game on the 13th, yeah, which is a Saturday night, the UBC Thunderbirds, they're going to try to set a CIS attendance record, dating back even to the old CIAU, where they are going to broadcast in with help from the Canucks. It's the Canucks that are going to be broadcasting the Canucks versus Maple Leafs game on their new Jumbotron. And so people can go and watch the 4 o'clock Canucks versus Maple Leafs game as part of the Hockey Day in Canada celebration. And then immediately following that game, the UBC Thunderbirds will be hosting Lethbridge. And what they're hoping is that they're going to get over 10,000 fans in to see both the Canucks and Maple Leafs on the big screen and then stick around to watch UBC play Lethbridge.
And if you're at those games, Mike, we recommend you bring your Walkmans.
Bring your Walkman, exactly, Daryl. We're doing all four games at GM Place. I should mention tickets are available at Ticketmaster.ca. There are some discounts for students, and there are discounts, I believe, for Canucks season ticket holders.
You know what, Mike? We'll try to get some to give away this Friday.
Yeah, let's do that. And I actually urge you to go to the alumni game because it's actually the Canucks. You may not think that Gary Volk's a big name, but in terms of alumni players, in terms of quality of hockey, he's on their A team, which means that basically he's in good shape and he still plays.
Isn't Bill Ranford on the team too?
No, he might be an alternate goalie, but there are some former NHLers from other teams who are on the Canuck alumni. So basically, they're a bunch of guys who live in the Vancouver area who play basically a really high end hockey. And UBC is going to send out a really good team as well. So it's going to be quite a high caliber hockey game. It's not going to be your typical old timers game. It's going to be a good hockey game.
And Mike, UBC this weekend 6-5-1. Mm-hmm. They went 1-0-1. They had a shootout loss.
They actually a shootout loss and a shootout win.
Shootout win on the weekend. So they're going to be taking on the Alberta Golden Bears this weekend. Alberta 8-2-2, the two-time CIS national champion. That's who's coming to town this weekend. UBC beat them once already this year.
In a shootout, yeah.
In a shootout. Broke, what was it, like a 42, 43-game winless streak, something like that. UBC, Alberta this weekend, Mike. Big weekend, I think, for the Thunderbirds. If they are able, it's a long way to go. But if you've looked at the standings, Mike, the Canada West, I mean, it's pretty tight this season.
It's very tight, Darryl.
It's pretty tight this season. So if UBC can, say, come out with a three-point weekend, they're looking good. Or a one-point weekend.
Let's just put this into perspective, yeah. Darryl. I haven't done the math exactly, but I'm pretty certain that if UBC sweeps Alberta this weekend, which is pretty ridiculous. If they do,
they've got a shot. They'll be a point
Darryl,
back.
Let's just put it into perspective here. They'd actually be tied with Alberta.
No.
First in the division.
No, Alberta's got 18 points.
Pardon
UBC's
me.
Got 13 coming
Pardon
into
me.
The weekend.
Down 1 point.
Down one
Forgive
point.
Me. Forgive me. But close enough. You know,
awesome.
And actually, you know, Lethbridge maybe sliding a little bit. They were, you know, ranked first for the first 5 weeks on the CIS top 10 this week. They dropped down to number 2. So UBC may be catching a little break there, not having to play the number 1 team in the nation this weekend.
Awesome. Mikey Wall, we're going to have the game Friday from Burnaby Winter Club. UBC and the Alberta Golden Bears should be a fun one. Mikey, I got to move on here. I got to take this call. I'll see you Friday.
See you Friday.
Talk to you soon, Mike. Hello.
Hello, is this CITR?
This is CITR.
Yes. My name is Shanna Ducharme. I'm calling from an Insight Film production.
Oh, call this number, 822-1242.
Okay, thanks.
Thank you. That's the problem when you have a talk show, and I got to answer my own calls, nonetheless. Anyways, folks, we are going to take a quick break here on Wiener's Barbecue. Once again, our pledge drive, folks. I told you what we're going to be giving away. Hopefully, we can tack on some UBC GM place games on top of that to give away this Friday night. But if you'd call up 822-8648 or go to citr.ca/donate.php, citr.ca/donate.php, donate, help us out on our pledge drive, folks. $25, $45, $60 donations are welcome. And you know, we're just looking to raise money. We've never done this before, folks. And if you call up, say you're part of my show, or you're calling because of my show, you will be going into the draw for the Canuck tickets, March 1st versus Phoenix Coyotes. They're $100 face value for the two, and you also get the Yvonne Cornway signed photo. So give us a call up, and we might have some UBC tickets to put on top of that at GM Place, and they're going to do full production, I believe, the Canucks for these games. All right, we're going to take a break. When we're back, Javi Glatt from the Grey Cup winning BC Lions. You're listening to Wiener's Barbecue on 101.
Suspicious man. We're caught in a trap. I can't walk out. Because I love you too much, baby. Why can't you see, what you're doing to me? When you don't believe a word I'm saying. We can't go on together with suspicious minds.
All right, everybody, welcome back to Wiener's Barbecue. With us on the line, he sounds, why are you so tired? What's your excuse?
Oh, we've been doing a lot of celebrating since the game ended.
Javi Glatt from the Grey Cup winning BC Lions. Javi, can I say former UBC Thunderbird?
Of course.
Attaboy, former UBC Thunderbird, Javi Glatt, former UBC Thunderbird baseball player, Javi Glatt.
Yep. Back in the day.
You weren't as successful at baseball, though, Javi.
Well, I kind of hit the wall there. Football kind of chose me, so.
Football chose you, hey?
Yeah, I think so. But no, baseball is still, you know, my blood is something I love to do. I love to play baseball. One of my former guys I played a little bit with, Justin Morneau, just won the big MVP this year, so.
Where did you play with him?
We played on the Canadian Junior National Team with in 1999. Morneau's on that team. Jeff Francis was on that team. Some pretty big names. It was a pretty good time.
But you could tackle better than both of them.
Definitely. They're pretty tall, lanky guys. Actually, Morneau's a big dude now. I'm going to have to bring the hat for sure against him.
I saw Morneau, and, you know, he got the MVP today, Javi. I think, personally, they should have given it to Jeter. Or is that blasphemy that I'm saying that? I think they should give it to, it should have been Jeter.
Well, you got to look at what the award is, most valuable player. So if it was most outstanding, I think Jeter probably gets it, but most valuable to his team, no doubt about that. That Morton was the most valuable to his team for sure.
Javi. I mean, we're going to talk Grey Cup here, but Derek Jeter's a shortstop playing for the Yankees, outstanding postseason player. I think the guy should get, I mean, granted, Derek Jeter doesn't need any do or anything, but they should have given it to Jeter. I mean, he's done enough already.
Nah, I disagree. Let's talk football.
Are you ready, Javi? Are you ready? Javi Glatt from the Grey Cup winning BC Lions. Javi, tell us about what it meant to you. What it meant to you. I saw a great shot of you on the CBC shortly after BC won the cup in the locker room. What does it mean to Javi Glatt to have that Grey Cup ring when you do get the Grey Cup ring?
Well, I mean, it's a culmination of a lot of hours in the gym, watching film, dealing with injuries, you know, the highs and the lows of your career, and it just all comes down to this. I mean, for the rest of my life, I can say I was a Grey Cup champion. I mean, the first thing that, you know, I want to be defined as, you know, when I get older, when I become a grandpa, I want them to say, Grey Cup champ, you know, or, you know, hopefully multiple Grey Cup champ. Yeah. And that's something that, you know, is the ultimate prize and something I'm so proud of.
Javi, you had a great season. You had to work for everything you got. You got drafted by the BC Lions, of course, and you came in, started at special teams, and you just had to work your way up the ranks. Miles leaves as the linebacker. You get to take over that spot. You do a great job doing that. And is it special to you that you really had to earn every play, it seemed, you got on that field for this football team? Does that feel good for you that nothing was handed to you, was it?
No, not at all. I mean, geez, it took a lot of proving myself over and over and over and over, and also trying to almost convince people, I'll just say people in general, that, you know, middle linebackers or starting linebackers don't have to be from a certain part of the world. They don't have to be a certain this, a certain that. You know, just get out there, make plays, and that's all that matters. It doesn't matter where you're from. Special teams is extremely intense in the CFL. And, you know, Carl Kidd told me my first year, if you can make plays on special teams, you can make plays on defense. And it's the same thing. It's just aggression, speed to the ball, you know, having that instinct. So something I'm very proud of, and, you know, this is only the beginning.
Javi, can we go to that play you made in the Grey Cup? Can you take us through that? Montreal on the 1 yard line, about to punch it in, making it a very close game with not very much time to go, but they're going to be back in this one. The handoff to Robert Edwards, and Javi, have you ever timed a jump as well as you timed that one, causing the fumble?
Probably not, I guess. It was, you know, something you dream about, especially as a linebacker for me. You know, I guess the quarterbacks probably grew up dreaming about throwing them, you know, a touchdown pass in the Grey Cup or a long bomb, you know, receivers catching the long bomb. For me as a linebacker, it's, you know, diving over the pile on a goal line stand and hitting them in the backfield. And, yeah, I mean, I knew what play was coming. I've seen it 100 times on film. I was prepared for it. And I just said, hey, I'm going to take a chance. They're on the 1 yard line. What's the worst that can happen? They score. I mean, you got to give them a yard in the CFL anyway, so there's a good chance they're going to score. And I just got lucky. I mean, I hit him. I guess I dove in the right spot, hit him right in the chest, and he dropped the ball, and I guess the rest is history.
What went through your mind, Javi, did you see him drop the ball, or did you look up and suddenly BC have it?
It was kind of like next to my leg, and then I put my arm on. I saw him drop the ball. I reached for the ball, kind of grabbed it with one arm, and then Otis Floyd had two hands on it. He wrapped up my leg, the ball, my arm, everything. So I'm like, why am I fighting with my own guy? Let go. He took the ball. And then I think we sprinted about 70 yards down the field with the ball. And I just couldn't believe it. I was totally overwhelmed by what had happened. You know, such a huge defensive stand. You know, and even the play before that was a great stuff on the 1 yard line. It's definitely, you know, shows how tough our defense is, and our, you know, we'll never, ever, ever stop playing our hardest.
Javi, watching, because I do the stats for 1040, you know that.
Mm-hmm.
So I saw every play at home this year. Actually, I missed a couple kickoffs. I think I was going to the bathroom. But nonetheless, Javi, your defense this year, I mean, this was known coming into the season as an offensive team. Dave Dickinson, Casey Printers, let's move the ball, let's score a ton of points. But how great was your defense this year? Because, I mean, I talked to Julio Caravata earlier in the day, and he said it was defense and special teams that won it for yesterday. How great was your defense this year?
Well, they say, you know, Dave Ritchie, Wally Bono, they've been around this league for a long time. They say it might be the best defense they've ever seen. So I know a lot of people around the BC Lions organization say it might be the best defense BC Lions has ever had. You know, you hear all these things. I know statistically we're incredible. But it's just, there's just so many playmakers all across the board. It's just unbelievable. So many great players all over, DBs. Our D-line is just absolutely ridiculous. No one can block our D-line. Our linebackers, I believe, as a unit, we're the best in the league. And our DBs are absolute ball hawks. We led the league in sacks. We led the league in picks. We led the league in touchdowns scored by a defense. We led the league in takeaways. We led the league everything. So, you know, it's our defense is pretty unbelievable, and it's just a great thing to be a part of.
How great, Javi, is Brent Johnson?
Right. He deserves all, you know, all the credit he gets. Everyone says, oh, he gets a lot of pub. He deserves all the credit. He, you know, he's an unbelievable player. I mean, he should be getting more credit. The guy's unreal. He doesn't get – he's hard to block. You just can't block the guy. And he's resilient. He's got a great sense for the game. He's an incredible athlete. And the guy makes plays. Wally Bunn always says the two players that influence the game the most are the quarterback and the guy hitting the quarterback, a DN. A guy that can just take – he can take over a game. And this year it was just ridiculous. He's getting interceptions. He's scoring touchdowns on offense. He's a pretty unbelievable player. And I think when he's done playing, he'll go down as one of the best that ever played in this league.
Are you still glowing from winning the Grey Cup, Javi?
My glow is starting to fade a little bit because I was definitely glowing the last 48 hours, but I'm starting to crash and burn now. I need to get some rest. I haven't slept much. We've been just celebrating. And, you know, the big thing is with the way everyone, you know, lives all across North America, these are my friends. These are my teammates. We just had a great win, a great, you know, memory. And you want to enjoy it as much as you can with your teammates. And the problem is that everyone leaves. You know, everyone's leaving. And either today, tomorrow, or the next day. So you're trying to spend the last couple of days with your friends and before they take off. And but I'm definitely starting to fade.
Awesome. Have a couple more questions, and I'll let you take a nap. And I do appreciate you doing this. Is the feeling of last year, obviously the season definitely ended poorly for you guys. Is that taste now out of your mouth completely?
Yeah, I don't care about last year anymore.
Awesome.
Last year, I just don't care. I really don't. I mean, it sucked at the time, but, you know, there's nothing I can do about now. And all I know is we came back, and I think at the beginning of the year, a lot of so-called experts thought we were going to be, you know, a third or fourth place team in the West. You know, we were going to decline, this and that. Dickinson can't do this. Dickinson can't do that. You know, it just feels so good to shut everybody up. And there's no question all season long who the best team was. There's no question who was the best team in the Western Final. There's no question who the best team was in the Grey Cup.
Well, yeah, Javi, does that make you feel better as a player that not for winning, the way you guys won the Grey Cup, not only were you the top team in the regular season, but then you won the playoffs also on top of that in the Grey Cup. It wasn't like you just made the playoffs, got hot at the end, and then won it. I mean, you guys were good start to finish this year. Does that make it more satisfying for you?
Yeah, it was a consistent effort all year long. We were just flat out better than everybody else, and we knew it. So the games we lost, I honestly believe, well, a couple of them we easily could have won, but the games we lost, I think were just games that we, for whatever reason, maybe thought on that given day, we thought we believed how good we were and didn't really, you know, as a team have an energetic, you know, cohesive effort. We lost 5 games all year. Probably should have only lost maybe 3, but at the same time, who cares? I mean, we won a lot more than we lost, and we got the cup now, so
All that matters.
Javi, you were at the game when Paul McCallum missed the 18-yard field goal and hit the upright versus you guys when you played Saskatchewan in the West Final 2 years ago. 11 for 11 in the playoffs, six field goals, six for six in the Grey Cup final, tied the CFL record, set a BC Lion record for field goals made in a playoff game. You feel good for that guy?
Oh, yeah. He's a great guy, man. Coming to the team, I've definitely become good friends with him. And he got a raw deal over there in Saskatchewan. They played a lot of head games with him. The GM, head coach, they didn't treat him very well. So I think that coming over here is a good fresh start for him. He's got the talent, there's no doubt about it, and he's got such a good head on his shoulders. It was great to see him do so well. He deserves everything once again, just like Brent. They deserve all the credit, and we're lucky to have him.
Javi, if I buy a Javi Glatt jersey, I'm going to buy it orange. Is that the one to get?
Yep, or the black. Well, the black one's pretty sharp now.
I kind of like the orange, personally.
You know what? Orange is sweet because at the Western Final, when everyone's wearing orange like that, it was just unreal. What an amazing atmosphere. So, yeah, get orange.
Oh, yeah. So I'm going to get the orange. You'll sign it for me?
Of course.
I love it, Javi. Javi Glatt, Grey Cup champion. You going to rub it into Julian Radlin or what?
Oh, hell, oh, definitely. He's been very supportive all the way. He knows their team's no good. So,
well,
he was really trying to be, supportive of me all the way through. And, he's my best buddy. It doesn't matter. He's going to support me all the way.
I had Dustin Chernosky on the show before the Western Conference final. And he also, I'll say it, he had nothing but good things to say about you, Javi.
Great. Well, thank you very much.
Javi,
these guys well. I pay them well.
What's that?
I said I pay him well.
Well done, Javi. Javi Glatt from the Grey Cup champion BC Lions. Javi, get some rest.
Sounds good, buddy.
Thanks, Javi. I appreciate
it.
Bye. Awesome. That was fun. Javi Glatt, former UBC Thunderbird, Grey Cup champion. Grey Cup champion. And you know what? Javi made the play. Late in the game, dove over the pile, caused the fumble. Gotta love that. All right, we're going to play our interview with Julio Caravatta in a minute, talking about the Grey Cup win for the BC Lions. Julio, of course, I don't know if you ever listen to my show, Julio, always on here to talk about the BC Lions, and we got our final one to play this year. Anyways, once again, 822-8648, 822-8648 is the phone number to call if you're going to donate to our CITR pledge drive. We never ask for money. We need some help here. We need to update equipment and everything. And if you like our sports broadcast, we are hoping to be able to upgrade our equipment. Donations starting at $25, and you get lots of stuff if you do donate. A Friends of CITR card, CDs, you'll get T-shirts, sweaters, hoodies, lots of stuff, depending on how much you donate. The minimum donation is $25, 822-8648. 822-8648. And once again, if you do donate and you say you're a part of our show, I keep saying that. You say if you're doing it because, or you're with Wiener's Barbecue, if you say my name, the show, when you donate, your name's going to go into a hat, and whoever I pull out will get two tickets to the Canucks versus Phoenix Coyotes March 1st, face value about $100 for the tickets, and a signed Yvonne Cornoyer, Hockey Hall of Famer, signed photograph. So give us a call, 822-8648, 822-8648. We're also going to be including the people eligible for those tickets. If they call up during the UBC hockey game versus Alberta, should be a good one, on Friday. If you call up during that game, your name will also go into the hat. All right, we are going to now be joined by Julio Caravatta, color commentator for the BC Lions Radio Network. Julio was at the Grey Cup, and we're going to get his thoughts on the BC Lions Grey Cup championship win. So here's my interview with Julio. Okay, here I am with Julio Caravatta, color commentator for the BC Lions Radio Network. So first off, Julio, BC Lions win the 94th Grey Cup. Tell us all about it, what it was like being there and the Lions in that game.
Well, it was definitely exciting to watch them finish and be able to cap off a great season. the way they have. I'm sure it was very, very gratifying to all BC Lions fans that they were able to really go in as favorites and play a very, very good football game and walk away with a championship. There's nothing more gratifying. Everybody lines up at the beginning of the year to want to win a championship, and only one team can say they have. So for them to walk away from the 2006 season saying that they're the Grey Cup champions is a big, big thrill.
Julio, is it different since BC won the championship, being the best team in the regular season, then winning the playoffs? Does that make it a little sweeter for these guys, you think?
I think so. You know what I mean? Like, it's one of those things, Darryl, that, you know, for this team, you know, they always say, I mean, it's a different team, a team that, you know, that has been put together, and every single person, you know, prior to this game, and because, you know, obviously after you win a championship, everyone's going to say, oh, yeah, we had a great team, we had great guys, we had this, we had that. But, you know, very seldom do you talk to these guys during the season and hear them say, you know, hey, you know, this is a special group. We've got a great group of guys here. This is, and then when you start hearing towards the end of the year about maybe this might be the best team that they've ever been on, and maybe this is might be the best defense that the Lions have ever had. All those kinds of things. Just the accolades that were coming from within the team, and all the guys that I talked to on this team that I really kind of trust and respect their opinion have all said the same thing, that they'd never been a part of a group like this, and for them to come out and you know, finish the season the way they did is spectacular, and it looks good on them. They're like, we'd have to agree, the guys that follow them around, it is a group, a very, very good group of guys, and you're always happy to see when good guys have success.
Are the ghosts of 2005 gone now? Is that what they did? They erased last season?
I would. Here's the other thing too, Darryl. It actually drives me a little crazy as far as, you know, people and the fans, sometimes they get a little frustrated with the way the team is, and if they lose, and Dave Dickinson this, and, you know, the whole Casey Printers thing, and getting back to 2004. You know, the one thing that drives me crazy is that this is a team that has been completely overhauled since Bob Ackles arrived here and hired Wally Bono. This team is really the envy of every single team in the league as far as the way it's run, how good the team is. You know, there's three Western Division championships there. There's two trips to Grey Cups and one Grey Cup victory in 3 years that Wally Bono's been here. Like, you know, I think sometimes the fans get a little frustrated and a little, you know, sometimes it's very frustrating for us because you just don't realize what you got until sometimes it's gone. And right now, the Lions have, you know, a tremendous organization from top to bottom, and we should be lucky that we're, you know, getting a chance to be there in the end. You know, you can only ask yourself and your team to give yourself a chance to be a champion. It just goes to show you how hard it is. You can have the best team, but sometimes that doesn't result in a championship. And with the Lions this year, they were able to capitalize and show that, yeah, they were the best team, but they also were the champions of the league. And I got to give Wally a lot of credit for doing what he's done here, because he's completely turned it around.
And Julio, is that something, you know, maybe those of us that follow sports should look to, is here's a guy, got rid of Baron Miles, let, you know, Casey Printer's no longer on the team, that although they lost such talented players and they didn't have, you know, they did lose 5 games in the regular season, this was the better football team, although they lost those two extremely talented players?
Well, you know what, Darryl, I think sometimes when you have the most talent doesn't mean you're going to have the best team. So it's one of those things that, you know, you have to sometimes have character guys. And I think that's what Wally will tell you, that he maybe got rid of some egos and got rid of some guys that were maybe me-first players and brought in guys that weren't concerned about what their own personal goals were going to be, but what the goals of the team were going to be. And when you have your elite players on your team, your superstars who buy into that system, you're going to have success. When you have your G. Roy Simons and the Dave Dickinsons and the Jason Claremonts and Baron Miles and Javi Glad and Brent Johnson and Tyrone Williams, the list goes on. That buy into this is about us winning a championship rather than me being an individual award winner or me leading the league in sacks or leading the league in receptions. This is about us winning a championship. Because in the end, you think anyone's going to remember who led the league in sacks in 2006?
or who led the league in receptions or interceptions. No. People will look back to this year and they'll say, the BC Lions were Grey Cup champions in 2006. That's what they're going to remember.
Julia, and another guy who got to redeem himself, obviously, Paul McCallum misses the big, you know, 11-yard field goal, I think it was, in
18.
The West. 18. Thank you, Julia. 18-yard field goal in the Western Conference Final two seasons ago. 11 for 11 in the playoffs. 6 for 6 in the Grey Cup. 5 for 5 in the Western Conference Championship. He punted well, too. Paul McCallum in the playoffs this year.
Yeah, you know, Houston, I think there's another thing that about Paul is that he was unjustly, you know, pinned as the GOAT in that game. And that's the way sports goes. You know, you miss an 18-yard field goal, then that's the way it is. But Paul McCallum was brilliant for the Saskatchewan Roughriders during his stay there. He was a great kicker who made a lot of clutch kicks. And as far as his I think it was a little bit unjust for Paul. But for him to come here and really kind of cap off the season that he had, really going 11 for 11 in the playoffs and really just completely solidifying that special teams unit with the kicking, you know, all the kicking chores that he had to do, it was just one of those things where, you know, he was exactly what Wally Buono wanted. He was a guy who was able to come in and be pretty much automatic from about 45 yards and in. And anytime you can get that, you're going to be way ahead of the game. A lot of teams would like to have a guy like Paul McCallum line up for a winning kick.
And, Julio, we're a UBC station, UBC Thunderbird linebacker, made the big play causing the fumble late in the Grey Cup. Tell us about Javi Glatt yesterday and Javi Glatt this season in general.
Well, you know, you're asking the right guy, Daryl, because, you know, I have been a huge, huge Javi Glatt fan ever since I've met the young man. I can make a lot of time for a guy that.
Julio, sorry, just to cut you off, he couldn't hit a baseball though. Just so you know that. Just so you know that.
It doesn't matter. he can make tackles. But he's a guy that he's just absolutely been one of the real huge stories, I thought, this whole year. And he steps in for a guy like Baron Simpson, and really that defense does not miss a beat. So, you know, and I think was kind of hooped out of, you know, out of an all-star voting. I think that here's a guy that if you put his statistics beside a lot of other linebackers in this league, and you're going to say that they're defensive MVPs. And Javi, for whatever reason, was overlooked as far as all-star voting goes, as far as, you know, and he also played on a great team with the defensive MVP also being the best Canadian. Because if it wasn't for Brent Johnson being there, I'm sure that Javi Glatt would have been for sure the outstanding Canadian and potentially been the outstanding or the most valuable player on defense. Like Javi was, if you look at his statistics over the year, he was brilliant. He was third in the league in tackles. He had 6 sacks. He had 4 interceptions. He had 4 fumble recoveries. He had 3 forced fumbles. He had 4 or 5 knockdowns. Like, you look at Baron Simpson, who was the East nominee for Defensive Player of the Year. He led the league in tackles. That's all he did. I mean, he had 1 interception. He had maybe 1 sack or 2 sacks. You know, as far as like a statistical year, like Javi Glatt was way better than a lot of guys who were all stars.
And, Julio, with Javi Glatt, how much of a hill does a guy like that have to climb? He did get drafted very high in the CFL draft, but you see a lot of Canadians. I saw him play a game here, Julio. I'm pretty sure he played his linebacker position. He played fullback and returned kicks in one game. I'm pretty sure I saw him do that. How much of a hill does a guy like that have to climb, though? Comes in, he's a special teams guy, and really has to earn everything in the CFL,
well,
doesn't he?
You know, I mean, the other thing, too, really, with Javi is that he was a guy who, as you say, had a big injury, I think, coming out his senior year. I believe he broke his leg.
Broke his leg, yeah.
And that really hurt him. And then the one thing that always amazed me about Javi when he first started was I even noticed that when we'll go to training camp, I said to the coach at times, man, this kid flies around. Like, it just seemed like wherever the ball was, he was. He just had a great sense for the football. And then, you know, Wally Buono was just saying to us, said to us during training camp, said, you know, next year, this, you know, I'm going to have to find a way to get this guy on the field. I mean, there's just no way that I can just leave him as a special needs player. I mean, he has to get on the field as a linebacker. But one of Wally's biggest concerns is that when you start a guy like Javi Glatt, then you also have to be have a backup. Because if you're going to use him in the middle of that defense and have him as a kind of a racial breaker because he is a Canadian, then you better have a guy, if he does get hurt, that can play. Because then all of a sudden, you know, you have to put American there, you have to switch your ratio around a little bit, and it throws a big, huge wrench into your plan. So he was able to find Javi Glatt a spot on that defense, and then he went out and drafted Jason Pottinger out of McMaster, who's a great young linebacker as well, and he's equally as high on Pottinger as he is on Glatt, saying that, you know, this kid is going to be a big-time player when he gets onto the field. And it's going to be one of those things that Pottinger is going to be, you know, knocking on the door pretty quick the way he's been progressing.
Yeah, so, sorry, Julio, talk about the future of this team. You mentioned people remember who the champions are, but what people definitely will remember are dynasties, a team that maybe can win three great cups in a row. Now, that's a long, long way to go, but does this team have the potential? Because that's really, in my mind, what sports is about. People remember the dynasties.
Yeah, no,
does
you're right.
This
you
team...
want to separate yourself. You're right.
Yeah.
You know, we all remember the great team in Edmonton, right, that won five great cups.
People that don't even really follow the CFL know that team.
Yes, you're right. And here's the thing, too, Daryl, is that the ingredients for a dynasty are there. When you look at the Lions and you look at their route, they got great defense. They may have one or two guys that they're going to have to replace. But are replaceable, I think. And then offensively, I think that they have all the ingredients there as well. Although I think the one big key for the Lions next year will be to try to find a replacement for Rob Murphy, because that's going to be a big hole to fill with the kind of year that Murphy had at left tackle. I just can't see Murphy with 6 years' experience in the NFL and the kind of lack of depth that most teams in the NFL have at offensive line, the kind of year that he had. He's already vested in the union and the pension, so it's not going to be a big chance for a team to have to bring him in and put the money into the pension, which sometimes is a big concern for teams. He's a guy that's completely vested in the union or the pension, and if given an offer of $600,000 or $700,000, can jump back into the league. He's just had too good a year to not get any kind of consideration. And he's told us that there are a lot of teams kicking his tires right now about, you know, coming and competing for a job next year. And I would be shocked if Rob Murphy's not in the NFL somewhere next year.
Well, it says something about your team when you're not losing guys to free agency, you're losing them to the NFL, doesn't it?
Yeah. And the other thing, too, is that Wally's never been one guy, Daryl, to stand pat. Even if he wins a championship and gets to a Grey Cup, you know, he'll make changes if he feels he has to make changes. And you're sure about the guy because of what he's done in the past, that he is not going to stand pat with his roster, even as good as it was. He will try to make it better. He will try to find better players. And even with the defense that they had and the way they flew around, that's going to be hard to do. But he will try to find a way to do that. And that's going to be the interesting part now. So how does he do that? How does he go about, making changes and finding guys that are going to, you know, maybe get him back to, you know, to the big dance? But you look at the key positions across the field; they've got all their key guys locked up.
Because Julia, is this team coming into the season was known as an offensive football team, but this defense was sure something this year. And yesterday, defense and special teams really won them on Sunday, defense and special teams really won them that Grey Cup, didn't it?
Oh, absolutely. And it's still very, very true about what they say about the championship teams. This is your defense wins it for you. I mean, that's what won the championship for the BC Lions, was that defense. You mean they were suffocating. They literally were not allowing anybody to move out there the way they played. And for that to be said about the Lions' defense is huge, because, you know, there's a lot of great offensive talent going right across the board in this league. So for them to have been able to stuff some of the teams that they did, and the Alouettes in the Grey Cup, speaks volumes. But that was the key for this team. They had a good enough offense. With Dave Dickinson, you're going to win games, because he's just too smart a quarterback not to be able to move the football on some of the defenses in this league. But they needed defense to be able to win a championship, and that's what Wally Buono concerned himself with in the offseason. He was able to go out and get some players, and he did the right. He made the right moves. Two big moves, I think. Corey Banks, and Aaron Hunt were the two biggest additions to this football team on defense, and that's what put them over the top.
And also a move he did, which was key, when Antonio Warren couldn't get the job done, didn't hesitate. Joe Smith's the guy.
No. Antonio Warren was one of those guys that really was struggling for this team, and Wally was not going to be patient. You know, he's a guy that had said to us before the season started that his patience was not going to be like it was in years past. He was, you know, his goal was to win a championship, and, you know, he was going to do whatever it took to get there. And, you know, you have to give him credit. I mean, there's not very many guys in this league, Darryl, that will do that. There's not very many guys that will, you know, pull the trigger on a deal that, you know, or make a cut when you've got a veteran guy who's been established in this league. Many guys won't do that.
Awesome. Julio Caravaggio. Julio, thanks a bundle for doing this. Just so people know, if you're just listening to Team 1040 and you hear Julio on two networks, they're pre-recorded. We're live. Not quite, eh, Julio?
Not quite.
And you were right. I was wrong. Justin Morneau, MVP. Derek Jeter doesn't win it.
Told you.
Julio, if I was just on ESPN.com, a lot of them were saying dumb vote, wrong vote. I think a lot of people just didn't want to vote for a Yankee. They just didn't want to vote for Jeter. I got both of them in my baseball pool, okay?
Uh-huh.
And I got a pool. I'll just tell you briefly, Julio, we suck, okay? It's one of them keeper pools.
Uh-huh.
We're terrible, and we've given up many. We've given up tons of great players. We drafted Justin Morneau this year. We finally did something right. Julio, okay, so Julio, what do you do now? Football's over. What do you do?
No, I'm going to rest is what I'm going to do.
Taking it. You're
gonna you got to remember, Darryl, I've got a real job. I've got a real job. I'm fortunate now because I planned it ahead, and I took some holidays, and I'm going to enjoy my couple of blocks of holidays here and enjoy my family, and concentrate my efforts on being a good fireman.
A little more important, eh?
Yeah, I'd like to think so.
A little more important. Julio Caravaggio, now just fireman. Can I say that?
Yeah, exactly.
Now just fireman. Dial 911. Maybe you'll get him.
That's right. You want to talk some football.
Awesome. Have you ever got that, Julio, where you're there? You get that, eh?
Yeah, I get it every once in a while. Not often, but I do get it.
So wait, you're there, like, putting out the fire, and the guy recognizes you?
Yeah. Well, it was funny. A real quick story.
Yeah.
Yesterday on the plane ride home, a guy, they asked for anybody who had medical training because they had somebody who was having, you know, some dizzy spells and you know, was in, you know, cold sweat. And now I think the guy's body was in denial because of his lack of alcohol after a week of drinking in Winnipeg. But he was all right. Yeah. And it was funny because I went back there a second time to see how he was doing. And he says to me, he goes, oh, I thought you were going to bring me one of those Hershey ice cream bars.
Oh, well done. Well done.
Yeah.
You had to love that one,
yeah,
huh?
Yeah, I got a good chuckle out of it.
You had a he's listening.
Yeah, I hope so.
He is. At least he knows that part. Julio Caravaggio. Julio, thanks a bundle again for I got playoffs out of you this year and everything.
You did. Everything.
Awesome. Julio, appreciate it as always, and I'll see you soon.
Take care, buddy.
Thanks, Julio.
Bye-bye.
Good evening. In 1972, when Elton John and I wrote Rocket Man, it became very popular among the listeners. Due to the interest in the meaning of the song, now in 1978 at the Science Fiction Film Awards, I'm truly proud once again to present my Rocket Man as interpreted by our host, William Shatner. Thank you.
Packed my bags last night, pre-flight, 0 hour, 9 a.m. And I'm gonna be I
touchdown brings me back again to find I'm not the man they think I am back home.
BJ, you there?
Yep.
Did you catch that? Did you catch what I was playing there?
William Shatner?
Oh, well, you know the Rocket Man thing?
Yes, I do, my friend. Yes, I do.
Are we a fan, or is that more pure crap that I'm playing for you?
I'd say, listen, it's Shatner singing.
Not a fan,
eh? Finish that sentence.
Have you seen the game show he's doing right now?
The Shat?
Is that what it's called?
No.
Or is that what it is?
Yeah.
Hey, you get it? All right, you ready to talk some football?
Absolutely.
All right,
man.
BJ, before we do that, we got to get into our pledge drive. CITR Radio, for the first time ever, BJ, is doing a pledge drive. Give us a call up at 822-8648, 822-8648. We need your help. We're trying to get some new equipment. Donations start at $25. You will get lots of stuff if you donate. We're going to give you lots of goodies. Give us a call up, 822-8648. Donations start at $25. $25.
What do you get?
Well, you get a CITR Friends card, which is a lot of stuff. Like, it's coupons throughout the city of Vancouver for a lot of great stores. You'll get a CD.
Like, for example?
BJ.
I'm trying to help you sell some pledges here. I was going to say, maybe I want a pledge. Maybe I challenge your listeners to outbid me. I mean, come on, Darryl. I'm trying to help raise some money here.
All right. Where's the friends? I don't have the list of stuff with me, okay? Now you've got me.
Okay, now you, fine.
But you get a CD. Where's the... Bryce, can you bring me what's in the friends card? Hopefully he's listening. Anyways, and also, BJ, if you do donate and you say you're a part of my show, your name goes into a hat, and you will get, if we pull out your name, you get two tickets to the Vancouver Canucks versus Phoenix Coyotes March 1st.
Oh, now we're talking.
And a signed Yvonne Cornoyer photo.
Oh, very cool. Very cool.
You know Yvonne Cornoyer.
Absolutely. I'll tell you what, Darryl, for every one of your listeners that pledges $25,
yeah.
Sorry, for every four of your listeners, so for every $100 that your listeners donate, I will pledge $25.
Look at that. We got a pledger, folks. 822-8648, 822-8648. And, BJ, we need equipment down here. We need help. Station's doing fine, but we would love your help to help CITR continue to bring you quality programming. How was I? Decent or bad?
You're good.
All right. You ready to talk a little football?
822-8648,
822-8648. Call us up and be eligible for the Canuck tickets, Phoenix Coyotes, March 1st, and the Yvonne Cornoyer signed photo. All right, BJ, an injury, a torn ACL. That seems to be the common one in football when you talk about serious injuries. Donovan McNabb, another serious injury to this guy. Philly loses 31-13 to Tennessee. Not good at all. They're 5-5. And BJ, here's their schedule the rest of the season. At Indy versus Carolina, at Washington, the Giants, and Dallas in three consecutive weeks on the road. And they finish up at home versus Atlanta. Philly with McNabb out. Is it over?
Yeah, it's done.
That's done. It's really
yeah,
all.
No, yeah, it's over in Philadelphia. You know, listen, Jeff Garcia and AJ Feely are now, you know, head to head for who will be the quarterback throughout the rest of the year. If it's me, I go with Garcia, a guy who we've seen put up, you know, some quality numbers in the NFL. Feely's never really done much of anything. Yeah, listen, Garcia, you never know. But their season's done. When I say they never know, maybe they, you know, pull an upset, you know, in Giant Stadium or something like that, or in Texas, you know, division game. But, yeah, they're done.
Donovan McNabb, BJ, what have you heard? I heard this injury could keep him out for a month to start next season.
For what I understand, it's 8 to 12 months. Once you start reaching that point, you start looking look at what happened to Dante Culpepper and, you know, a guy who got hurt last year, you know, missed the season. But it was one of those injuries that carried on, you know, through the off season workouts into training camp. And look what happened. Culpepper, terrible this year, has been replaced by Joey Harrington in Miami. Is that saying Harrington's a better quarterback than Culpepper? Absolutely not. Is that saying Culpepper can't succeed without Randy Moss? Absolutely not. But the guy was clearly not healed and not healthy when he came back. They tried rushing him in, and we've seen the results. You know, Miami is now finally getting their stuff together, but not the team that everyone thought they would be. You know, this is going to be an issue with Donovan McNabb next year, with Philly next year. You know, will McNabb even start the season? You know, hopefully they've learned from Miami that you can't rush this guy back, that the quarterback position, the guy needs to be healthier, he's not going to perform.
Well, BJ, difference, though, with Culpepper McNabb, Culpepper tore, I believe it was the MCL, ACL, and the PCL, which we never hear.
Yeah, Culpepper blew his entire knee out, all the three major ligaments.
And Culpepper,
Culpepper
was struggling before the injury took place, too.
Fair enough. I'm just saying there are some circumstances that could come into play as far as if McNabb is rushed back to start the season when he's not there. This is something that could lead into affecting them next year. And as you know, the timing is really too bad. It looked like he had started to develop a nice repertoire with Dante Stallworth, who was injured for a few games. He came back. Reggie Brown, obviously Brian Westbrook is a machine on that team. So good things were starting to happen slowly in Philadelphia. It's done now. I mean, forget about it.
And the other example you can look at, Carson Palmer had that real bad torn ACL in the playoffs last year versus Pittsburgh. Nah, he's just getting going right now, it seems. He is coming along. But McNabb, I mean, the worry with McNabb, he's one of those mobile quarterbacks, too. You don't know how he's going to come back on that one.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, Carson Palmer is a guy that stands in the pocket. He doesn't run. Would his injury time been more if he would have been a different style of quarterback? Very possible. But, yeah, just like you said, looks like finally now they're getting Chad Johnson the ball. That offense is coming around, putting up points and scoring on team. They beat a great New Orleans team this weekend. Their offense is finally now coming together. You're absolutely right. I mean, what we've learned is that you can't rush these guys back, and Roethlisberger would be, another example of rushing a guy back way too soon, especially with Charlie Batch, who's putting up great numbers in his place. Meanwhile, they're at, 3-6, and their season's done,
BJ, talking about, you mentioned Cincinnati beating New Orleans 31-16 on the weekend. Drew Brees, 37-52. Two touchdowns, 510 yards, throws three interceptions. How can a guy throw for 510 yards, Reggie Bush and Deuce McAllister combined for 91 yards rushing, which isn't that bad, and they only got 16 points? How the hell does that happen?
Yeah, honestly, I didn't see that game, so I don't know. But I can tell you, when you have an amazing you have an amazing guy like Deuce McAllister as your running back, plus you throw on top, an amazing talent in the rookie Reggie Bush, you got to have more than 91 rushing yards. Otherwise, it's just not going to work. But I didn't see a lot of that game, so I cannot comment on how he put up so many yards, scored so few points, and lost the game.
That's a lot of numbers, though, 5'10", hey?
Yeah, well, what? I think it was only, the sixth time that a quarterback had thrown for over 500 yards in the league. You look at all the great players that have played in the league, all the great teams, all the great passing offenses, and for only six guys to ever have done it before, shows you that something special right there.
Are you happy, like me, that I'm just not into this Indianapolis Colts team? 21-14 losers. Dallas knocks them off. They're 9-1 now. I, for some reason, don't give this team very much respect, like maybe they deserve. I don't know. But are you happy that New England's Indianapolis has finally lost?
I am, if for no other reason than to just get the hype out of the way. Otherwise, the exact same thing that happened last year would have happened this year. They started getting really close. But you got to sit guys for the playoffs. You can't. That's the ultimate. The goal. The goal isn't to go undefeated. The goal is to win the Super Bowl. And you got to rest these guys. You can't put Peyton Manning in trouble of getting injured in a game that means absolutely nothing. So I think it saved us a lot of hype and a lot of BS kind of leading through the season. And you got to feel bad for Bill Parcells. The amount of BS he's had to put up with Terrell Owens this season. A guy that Jerry Jones went out and got for him. He didn't want, per se. And just all the stuff that he's been through. You got to feel good to see Tony Romo in there. Tony Romo playing decent football, winning games for Dallas. You got to love the big tuna.
And that NFC East, BJ, with it with the Giants getting smoked by Jacksonville yesterday. Philly's still in it. Washington maybe still. That's a wide open division. No great team in that one.
Yeah, you know, well, the Giants are a great football team. They really are. Their schedule was impossible. That's something we talked about at the very beginning of the season, of how difficult it would have been to get through that schedule unscathed. And then you throw on top of it injuries to, you know, major contributors on the defensive side of the football. And it all adds up, man. It just adds up. They're a better team than certainly they looked like Monday night. They're a better team than I would say even their record would show. It's just so difficult to get through a schedule like that. It's parity in the NFL. That's what the league wanted. That's what the league got. And then you look at the Giants' schedule, and it just wasn't going to happen. I think it's a great football team, but you know, you look at now Tiki Barber says he's going to retire at the end of the year, and you know, it impacts, you know, what they're going to do in the future. Obviously, they have laid the building blocks for a great team, but how do you replace a guy like Tiki Barber? It's very difficult.
Is that why he's doing all the commercials, you think, this year? Because he knows next year he won't get one endorsement job if he retires?
Well, I wouldn't say that he's not going to get an endorsement job because, you know, Tiki Barber is a guy that's really put himself out there his entire career. He's an extremely intelligent individual, and at no point in his career, at least especially not, you know, with the Giants years when he was a productive football player, you know, as he said, the NFL is the end-all, the be-all for me. He's had other things going on. You know, he was the host of Cold Pizza on ESPN and has done different things on ESPN. I mean, you're going to see him in a broadcast booth. You're going to see him, you know, every Sunday, whether it be a pre-show or a post-show. This guy isn't going to go away. He's going to stay involved with football on a very public level. So, you know, I don't know if it's an issue of he's not going to be getting endorsements or he's not going to be a public figure after this. You know, he's pretty much come out and said, listen, football isn't life. I want life after football. I've done what I can do in football. Now let's move on and do something else. I'm sure he'd love to have a Super Bowl ring, but he's not going to be a guy that's going to prolong his career 4 or 5 years, play on different teams, just to chase it, just to get it, because nothing's a certainty. You know, it's something we've seen in every sport. You know, Charles Barkley being a great example of a guy who, you know, Patrick Ewing, of guys who went around towards the end of their career trying to get that ring, and it didn't work. So, you know, Tiki's smarter than that. And, you know, we're going to be seeing lots more of Tiki for lots of years to come.
We don't get that show, BJ, up here. My parents have ESPN, so they get it. And I've seen it a couple times. Is there a better name for a sports show than the morning ESPN show Cold Pizza?
I'll tell you that the name is better than the show. It's not, it's nothing great. Nothing
spectacular. What a name, though, hey?
It's a great name.
What a name. I love it. Cold Pizza. I want to watch it because of the name. New England, 35-0 over Green Bay. They're looking really good, but Brett Favre, I mean, you know, talk about they've hung in there pretty good, Green Bay, 4-6 on the season, but Brett Favre, 5-15, 73 yards. They get shut out at home versus the New England Patriots. And it is something, BJ, that Brett Favre has to leave the game because of a bum elbow I think he had. Aaron Rodgers comes in to replace him, and what's with Brett Favre? Rodgers comes in, breaks his foot, and right. Favre's healthy. What is up with this?
There was kind of a lot of really kind of funny things in that game. You know, first of all, as a sports bettor, a sports wager, easiest game on the board. You're less than a touchdown. No way New England loses 3 in a row, especially to Green Bay. It was the first time that the Packers have got shut out twice in Lambeau Field within the same season. And then, like you said, you know, Brett Favre and will he retire, won't he, will he be back? They draft this guy Aaron Rodgers out of Cal to be the quarterback of the future. Excuse me, hold the clipboard for Favre, learn from the great one and come in. And you know, the guy goes down and Rodgers comes in and breaks the foot. Now he's out. And if Favre is unable to perform, you know, they now have to go to the third quarterback. So it's really kind of a funny situation there in Green Bay. You know, Favre has looked good this season. Yeah. You know, that team around him just isn't very good. You know, Favre's look decent. I think he's hurrying more passes and putting up, you know, a lot more inadvised throws than he would have in the past. But I think that's just a byproduct of playing in a bad team and the pressure to move the chains. Sometimes you just got to take some shots. You know, to be honest, with what I've seen out of Favre this year,
yeah.
I'm not surprised if we see him again next year. I think he's going to come back. And as far as next week and the streak and Favre, you know, starting the, you know, whatever it is, the 270th game in a row, he'll come back. He's going to start, especially now that Rodgers isn't around.
13 touchdowns, 7 interceptions for Favre, 2,368 yards in 10 games, 7th in the league in passing.
Those are bad numbers.
An 80, and yeah.
10 interceptions is probably a little bit.
No, 7 interceptions. 7.
Probably a little bit higher than maybe you'd want to see, but on that team, it makes total sense. 13 touch. I mean, this guy has decent numbers. And you know, New England, listen, it had been like 4 years since they lost 2 in a row. A streak like that, you're going to get caught eventually, and obviously, you know, they just ended up running into Indianapolis, ended up being one of those losses. New England's a very solid football team, and they're a football team that I certainly wouldn't want to play going into the playoffs. I think that loss to the Jets where, you know, Eric Mangini, the coach in New York, who's, you know, a Belichick, discipliner, he came out of his army, and, you know, he just got out-coached. It was just a guy who wanted to show his mentor up, and it was just one of those things where, you know, things connected. It was a dirty field, a cold day. So, New England had to win. They're a much better team than two losses in a row, and, I wouldn't want to face them in the playoffs. Could you imagine if they have to go into the RCA Dome in Indianapolis? I mean, seriously, you got to figure, what would you split? You'd split 50-50. You're going to go for New England and 50. You're going to go for Indy. So,
well,
certainly in the hunt.
Beej, you talked about New England, the big game next week, a potential Super Bowl matchup. The Thanksgiving games, to be honest, you got Denver at Kansas City. That's not too bad. Tampa at Dallas is ugh. And Miami at Detroit is also kind of a stinker. But the big one next week, Chicago at New England, potential Super Bowl matchup. Who you like?
Yeah, it's going to be a great game. As a wager, I look at the Bears on one side of the ball. I look at them getting a field goal. And, you know, that looks attractive. But, I mean, do I want to bet against the Patriots at home with Brady, you know, knowing what they've gone through these last couple of weeks and seeing the Bears coming in on a high note? You know, what we've seen is that the Bears are touchable. They can be beat. If a team like Miami is going to beat the Bears can get beat. I don't think I know yet. I think if I'm forced, I end up going New England just for the fact that they're at home.
All right, I want to get into a player. Now, San Diego wins 35-27. They're 8-2 on the season. This guy's got four straight games of 3 touchdowns or more. Had 4 touchdowns total, I believe it was, on the Sunday night game. 19 touchdowns, 3 receptions, touchdowns, 1 passing touchdown this year. This doesn't include passing touchdowns. He's got 102 all-time. LaDainian Tomlinson. How dominant is this guy? They call him Superman. Is he?
Yeah, and this guy is unbelievable. Guy scored 8 touchdowns in the last 2 games.
He's got four straight games with 3 touchdowns or more.
Yeah, I mean, the season that this guy's having is definitely truly special. He's an amazing football player. And, you know, when San Diego gets the ball in the red zone, you know what's happening. You know it's going to be a touchdown, and you know it's going to LT. And he still can't be stopped. There aren't enough great things to say about, you know, him as not only a player in the league, but also as a person. It's really nice when a guy gets interviewed that he's able to put a sentence together, and he cares more about the money, and that's truly, you know, what's going on with LT. You know, an amazing season, and it certainly looks like he's going to break Alexander's touchdown record. What I relate it to is kind of, you know, those Marshall Faulk years in the early 21st century, when Faulk was unstoppable, running, passing, catching, scoring touchdowns. I mean, that's what LT is doing for San Diego this year. And, you know, I'm a guy that didn't have a lot of faith in Phillip Rivers coming out, and that Marty Ball and San Diego. LT is the MVP of the league. There's no doubt about it. He's what's making that team win games, and he's what's putting that team, you know, atop their division and as one of the best teams in the AFC, if not the league.
And Marshall Faulk, though, BJ, put up huge numbers, but he also had Warner and Bulger and Torrey Holt and Isaac Bruce.
Yeah.
I mean, they were a high-flying offense.
The greatest show on turf.
San Diego, it's just LT there. I mean, Gates isn't even having that good of a year. They got Phillip Rivers, who's been terrific. But right. it's LT's
well,
offense.
And look at the receiving core. I mean, Eric Parker. I mean, does that really scare anybody? Like you said, Gates has really been an absolute non-factor this season. I don't know why Rivers isn't getting him the ball or why Marty isn't forcing the ball to him more. But, you know, the reality of the situation is at this point, you don't have to.
No
one can stop LT.
Can I have a worse fantasy football team if I've got Tomlinson this year and my record's 1 win and 10 losses?
I was going to say, you almost beat me this week simply because of LT.
How bad is my team? I've got him. I've got him. And I'm that bad. I'm terrible.
Yeah, he's really putting out there an amazing season, and it really is something special, and you know, something that I hope will continue throughout the year, because, you know, like I said, you know, much like Marshall Faulk, just a true gentleman and a true gentleman of the game, and that, you know, you see Pac-Man Jones running back a kickoff this week for the Titans, and then it's like the exact opposite. You're like cheering for this guy to get hurt when he gets tackled, and then, you know, just seeing a guy like LT doing it is—it's a great thing for the league, and it's a great thing for him. As I hate the Chargers, but I'm happy to see it.
And just so you know, BJ, I owe you a good-hearted, but when you're not expecting that kidney punch that knocks you down for nagging me and ripping me off with Mark Clayton this year in our trade.
Yes, that was nice, wasn't it?
I'm gonna punch you in the stomach when you're not looking.
I look forward to that day.
Do you look forward to it? 1 in 10, though. I suck, huh?
What else you got? This is all you got?
What?
This is all you got? Well, you got Lamont Jordan going down in Oakland. I mean, their season's done.
Oh, we're out of time, Beach.
Yeah, Kevin Jones in Detroit.
Beach, we're out of time.
At least these are bad teams that are losing guys. But Kearney in Atlanta, we really saw a lot of guys go down for the year over the last week or two. Obviously, none bigger than McNabb. But, you know, now the long season is taken into account. You look at the 49ers. All of a sudden, they're second in the West. It looks like they could maybe, you know, beat Seattle for the division, or maybe even a wild card or a playoff spot. There's a lot of things going on, and, you know, all of these teams have started hot. The Minnesota Vikings, the St. Louis Rams. I mean, these guys can't get a win. You know, we've really kind of seen the league really balance itself out, over the last 3-4 weeks from what we saw at the get-go.
I gotta go, Beach.
Okay.
BJ, thank you. I appreciate it, and we'll talk to you soon.
Take the Chiefs on Thanksgiving. They don't lose at home.
Awesome. BJ Bass from Nevada, Las Vegas. Thanks, Beach.
Yo.
You saw I was trying to stop him there.
It's okay.
You saw that. Anyways, folks, thank you very much for listening to Wiener's Barbecue here on 101.9 FM, CITR Radio, Vancouver, British Columbia, Canada. Remember to stay tuned for Eric with Flex Your Head, but it's going to be Mike with Flex Your Head. Eric's still in China. One more week in China, and folks, tune in to CITR Sporting Broadcast this Friday at 7:30. The pregame starts at 7 as UBC will be taking on the Alberta Golden Bears in the sport of men's hockey from Burnaby Winter Club in Burnaby. And remember, folks, we are doing a pledge drive here at CITR. Please give us a call up, 822-8648. We got a lot of stuff to repair here at CITR. Our on-air studio was last upgraded 10 years ago. We need to raise money to replace our console, buy new headphones and new turntables. Our broadcast equipment is costly and expensive to maintain. We need your help, and if you like our CITR Sporting Broadcast, we need some new equipment here, so give us a call up. Donations start at $25. You get a CITR Friends card, which gives you discounts at a lot of great places around the Lower Mainland, and you get a CD, and the more you donate, the more stuff you get. And if you donate during Wiener's Barbecue, or just say you're donating because of Wiener's Barbecue, or during our sporting broadcast on Friday, or because of our sporting broadcast, your name will go into a hat, and you will be chosen at random, and the winner will get 2 tickets to the Vancouver Canucks and Phoenix Coyotes on March 1st, and a Yvon Cormier signed photo. Mike with Flex Your Head is coming up right now. Thanks for listening. Have a great day, everybody. Remember to donate, 822-8648, 822-8648, or go to citr.ca/donate.pht. That number again, 822-8648, 822-8648.
Thank you. Good evening. In 1972, when Elton John and I wrote Rocket Man, it became very popular among the listeners. Due to the interest in the meaning of the song, now in 1978 at the Science Fiction Film Awards,